Looking forward to teaching today and sharing in the Word of the Lord. I've enjoyed this series the last few weeks, and we're not done yet. Another installment, another message in our House of Miracles series. Let me just recap, because I know we have guests in the room today, or maybe someone who hasn't been here the last couple of weeks. Of course, you can always catch up at YouTube if you want to subscribe to the Church Covington on YouTube. Our Sunday services are archived there and easy to find, or scrolling down on the Facebook page, the Church Covington. You can find the service and watch the video there, or if you just want to bring it onto your phone, if you have a smartphone and want to listen by way of podcast, go to thechurchcov.com and you can hear the audio there. But you can stay up to date with what's happening in our teaching, because I believe that the Word of the Lord will bless and build our lives. But we've established that the church is God's plan to save the world. And we've said every week that the church functioning as it is supposed to, the church operating in power and in might, is as close to heaven on earth as we can get. It's as close to heaven as we can get while here on earth. We love the church. I love the church. And because I love the church, because I love this church, then I work at it. I work at it. I work hard at my church life, because I want to do my part to make it strong and better. Why? Why? Because our community needs a powerful church. You agree with that today? Our community needs a powerful church. It needs an effective church. It needs a difference-making church. This is the church we support and the church that supports us. It is a give and take relationship. It is a sowing and a reaping relationship. It is a blessing and being blessed relationship. And so last Sunday, I want to update you. Last Sunday, I talked about the miracle of a place, the fact that we have a place to worship, a church to call home. And I told a story about meeting someone, and it's not just one, it's multiple people my last few years here in Georgia. And they said, "You're my second Sunday pastor. This is going to be my second Sunday church." And if you were here last week, I was saying, "What in the world? Why only second Sunday? What about first Sunday? What about, you know, third Sunday?" Someone told me after church, "Well, if they ever die, I hope they die on a second Sunday, because otherwise they wouldn't have a church to do their funeral." You know, all kinds of ideas come out of that. But I loved it, because someone stopped by the office this week and they said, "I want to tell you, I want to update you, I want to tell you why they said that to you." And I was all ears, and we had a fantastic conversation. But they were telling me how that in Newton County and Rockdale County and really the Tri-County area, for many years, not all of the churches were open every single Sunday. A lot of the churches, primarily African-American churches, they were not open every single Sunday. Some churches were only open on first and third Sunday. Other churches may be second and fourth Sunday. Sometimes it's because the pastor was pastoring multiple churches in different cities, so he was maybe in this area first and third Sunday, and another area on second and fourth Sunday. And so if you wanted to go to church every Sunday, then sometimes you had to move around, you had to shift around so that you could be in church every Sunday. And that is why they said to me, "This is going to be my second Sunday church." They want to be in church every Sunday. Maybe they don't realize yet that we're doing this every single Sunday. We're here. We're here every Sunday. I know variety is the spice of life. And I know a lot of people, and that was a beautiful explanation of understanding sometimes in the black culture or in the historic black church, but that doesn't help me with all the white people that I've met the last 3 years that said, yeah, we go somewhere different every Sunday. We just try somewhere different. I mean, I don't know how many churches are in Newton County or how many are in the Tri-County, but at some point you're going to run out. Well, we're just looking for a church. How long you been looking? Oh, we've been looking about 6 years. Well, let me tell you something. The problem is not the church. The problem is the one looking. That's the problem. I'm telling you, I could jump right back into last week's sermon and just keep on preaching. It's all up in my spirit. But I thought that was a beautiful understanding, and I was happy to learn. I was happy to understand where that came from. So week one, we talked about the miracle of hope, talked about the fact that I think we are in the last days, and as tumultuous and as difficult as the season has been, and as hard as some of the things that we are facing have been, there is a hope. We are going to heaven. And then, of course, last Sunday, as I referenced, the miracle of a place. And I genuinely, my prayer is that you access everything God has for you by getting connected to people and place. Because I will repeat what I said last week. If multiple places have a little bit of you, then no one has all of you. Everyone's scared to count on you because it's like constantly being on a first date. You're always trying to impress, and you're always trying to put, you know, you don't want them to know, you know, you just don't want them to know what you look like without that makeup on. You just don't want them to know. So it's constantly living in first date, and at some point, everybody in this room knows that you're gonna get caught without the makeup on. Someone's going to see what you really look like. Someone's going to know when everything is not perfectly put together. And that is where commitment comes in. And commitment is a beautiful thing. So I want you to get connected to people and place, because this really is a house of miracles. The church is a house of miracles. There are things that happen for those who are of the house, connected to the house of God, that are not available to those who are not. And so today I want to talk to you about the miracle of the Spirit. We've talked about the miracle of hope. We've talked about the miracle of a place. Today I want to talk to you about the miracle of the Spirit. Because when you look at the Gospels are a historical record of the life of Jesus. But when you shift into the book of Acts, it is a historical record of the early church, of the first church. And where we begin reading today is a few decades into the first church. It's just the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, but it's already several decades into the beginnings of the early church, the church that you and I are a part of. Today, Acts 19, verses 1 and 2. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus. That was on the coast, where he found several believers. And verse 2, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So Apollos is in Corinth. Paul travels through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers, and then he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? No, they replied, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. We're new to this church thing. We've only been around a little while. We don't even know what you're talking about. We're still trying to figure out, you know, just going to church on Sunday, or just, you know, where to park, or what, you know, we're just trying to figure out this other stuff. We didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. I am convinced that even in 2020, many believers haven't experienced the Holy Spirit. Many people have not experienced the Holy Spirit. That's because the Holy Spirit has a bad reputation. He really does. Some really poor television, some really bad internet clips, some really goofy people. I watched the funeral of an older mentor, the dean of theology that I had in seminary, 25 years ago, passed away. He was about 80 years of age, and I was just kind of recounting some of the funny things that he would say. He was really funny in his southern colloquialisms and just the way that he spoke and taught. But he would say, if a goofy person gets saved, they're just a saved goofy person. The goofy doesn't go away. Sometimes people come into the church and they're still goofy, and goofy people have given the Holy Spirit a bad name. But let me teach today from the Word of God so that you see and understand and hear this from the Word of God and understand the miracle of the Spirit. The word Spirit or ghost is found 800 times in Scripture. I mean, this is prevalent throughout the Bible. But the translators actually ran into a dilemma because the Hebrew and Greek words didn't really translate easily into English. Let me give you some examples so that you understand exactly what I'm talking about. The word ruach, which is the Hebrew, the Old Testament is written in Hebrew, the New Testament is written or translated from Greek. So the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, understood by Hebrew people. The New Testament is written in Greek, understood by those understanding Greek. So in the Old Testament, the word ruach, a Hebrew word, it means a wind, it means breath, it means a violent exhalation, a blast of breath. I won't example that for the fear of spraying droplets the wrong direction, but it is a blast of breath. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2 reads like this. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit, that word Spirit is the word ruach, and the ruach of God, the breath of God, the wind of God, the violent exhalation of God, the blast of breath of God was hovering over the waters. But the translators didn't use any of those words. They used the word spirit or ghost. And then you get to the New Testament and you have the word pneuma. Pneuma in Greek, it means a current of air, a blast of breath, a strong breeze. So whether we're dealing with the word ruach in Hebrew or the word pneuma in Greek, they mean the same thing. In the Old Testament, it's a wind, a breath, this violent exhalation, the blast of breath. In the New Testament, pneuma is a current of air, a blast of breath, a strong breeze. John 6:63, the Spirit or the pneuma gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit or the pneuma, that's the word there, and life. So ruach and pneuma, both words translated as spirit, but means so much more than that. And Jesus said, these aren't just words, they are the breathed breath of God, and they can bring life to each of us. Has anybody experienced the breath of God in your life? And now your life is full and overflowing. That's why I want you to know today that Christianity is not a dead faith. It has breath and it has life in it. Sometimes we can get in churches or expressions of Christianity that maybe are very traditional or maybe very liturgical in their thinking or their expression of the scripture, or how they seek God, but sometimes there's not life in that. There's certainly not breath in that. There is not spirit in that. I'm not being critical of that. That's not for me. That's not my cup of tea. I've been in some beautiful cathedrals and some incredible buildings, and I was inspired by the stained glass and the beauty and all that was there. When I was in Honduras, we went into one of the churches there, and there were ropes, and they were trying to keep us from the very front of the church because everything in the front of the church was pure gold. I mean, this country that is in extreme poverty and people are struggling so greatly, but in this church is all of this gold. No telling how many millions upon millions of dollars are in this gold, and no one's trying to steal it. No one's trying to take it. They all respect that it is a representation, or it is an expression of God. And I looked around and I took some video and I took some pictures and I thought, wow, that's really pretty, or that's really nice. But the problem is I feel nothing in this room, because there is no ruach, there is no pneuma, there is no breath of God, there is no life in this room. Christianity is not dead. Even if you're in this room saying, all right, somebody invited me and I didn't even know this is what this was, and I'm already a little nervous because I don't know what's about to happen. This is what is about to happen. I'm going to talk to you from the Word of God, and then you're going to be able to go and enjoy lunch. Nobody's going to drag you, roll you, hold you under in a baptistry, or take you to some closed room somewhere. I don't want you to be nervous. Church is not weird. Church should not be weird. It should be life to the dead places that I'm living in and facing in my world. So I want us to look at some of the characteristics of wind. The Bible likens the Spirit to the wind. Let's look at some characteristics of wind, and then we'll talk about how they parallel the Holy Spirit. The first one is this: wind is unseen. Wind is unseen. If you were to step outside today or step out on a particularly breezy day, you're going to feel something, but you're not going to see it. You cannot see fresh air, but you can feel it. You walk out and it feels so good. That's so nice. You feel it growing through your hair if you have any, or you feel it ruffling your clothes, or you feel it on your skin. That's so refreshing. That is so nice. But I can't see it. I can't bring a to-go container out and just hold it up and capture the cool breeze and lock it up in my little styrofoam and take it with me for whenever I get ready for a cool breeze. No, that's not the way it works. Wind is unseen. God's presence is not seen, but it is felt and it is experienced. When Jesus was eating the Last Supper with the disciples, the majority of their conversation was about the Holy Spirit. Why was that? It was because it was important to Jesus, and he wanted his disciples and his followers to know. Of course, he was about to leave them. It was the Last Supper, the last time you and I are going to eat physically together in the same room. There are events coming. I've been trying to prepare you that things were going to happen. They were arguing and fussing and could not get beyond the fact that Jesus, who they had walked with and slept, you know, in campsites with for the last 3.5 years, they couldn't get over the fact that he was physically going to be taken from them. But he said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. My Spirit is going to come. You're going to have my pneuma. You're going to have the breath of God. It's going to be in you. He wanted them to understand it. He wants you and I to understand it. Why? Because we are his disciples and we are his followers. So in John 14, Verses 16 and 17, Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate." He will give you an advocate, a friend, a comforter, to help you and be with you forever. Verse 17, "The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." You're not going to be able to get everyone to understand this. This is not going to make sense to everyone in your family, everyone you work with, everyone you live next door to. You're going to try to explain it, and people are going to tell you you're crazy, you've lost your mind. But nevertheless, this friend is coming to comfort you, coming to help you, coming to be an advocate for you. His job is to help us, not to freak us out. And the world cannot accept him because they cannot see him. Because most people are only comfortable with what they can see. They can't handle an aspect of God that is only felt and experienced. Slowing down intentionally because I'm talking to people in this room, talking to people online right now that are saying, that's me. That's the part of Jesus I can't quite accept, or I can't quite figure out, because I'm an analytical person. I like all of my boxes to line up. I like everything to make sense. I like to lay the project out on the table. I open the box of puzzle pieces and get all the pieces turned to right, so I can see that I know that every puzzle piece is ultimately going to fit together, and knowing that there is an aspect of God that I cannot see and that I cannot control, and he's wanting to do something in me that I cannot control. I don't like that at all. I do not like that, and so I go only so far in my relationship with God. And then I hit the pause button because I can't quite get my mind around that. Let me keep teaching. Number two, wind is unpredictable. Wind is unseen, but wind is also unpredictable. Let me tell you something about wind. It will shift on you. Wind will shift. If you've ever been to an airport, if you go to an airport that's just right back here behind us, you can see, if you were to drive back in, you wouldn't have to go very far. You would see these orange, looks like a parking cone, but it's material, and it's on a flagpole, and that's visible all over the airport, because when planes are getting ready to take off, or when planes are coming in for landing, or those that are in towers helping to direct air traffic, they are watching the wind. They're letting the pilots know what the wind is doing. But everyone that hears the direction of the wind knows that it is subject to change at any moment, and without any predictability whatsoever, because wind will shift on you. And I get it. We want God to be tucked in and orderly. We want him to make complete sense to us. But hear me, God does not do things the same way all the time. He just doesn't. He doesn't do things the same way every time. If he did, then you and I would worship the system and not him. We would worship the process or the way that he does something instead of worshiping him. So in God, there are some things that never change, and there are other things that change on the regular. You got to figure out what is what, and part of your spiritual maturity is figuring out what is what. John 3 and verse 8 says, "The wind blows wherever it pleases." The wind blows. Jesus is talking about the Spirit. He's talking to Nicodemus in those first several verses. Nicodemus has come to him. "Hey, how does all this work? How does this happen?" And he's saying, "Nicodemus, every man that is born of water and spirit? How can I be reborn? Am I supposed to enter into my mother's womb again? How does all this work? He's half confused and half playing dumb because he's one that keeps pushing the pause button. I don't know if I can go this far with you because I'm struggling with the unpredictability of the spirit. And Jesus says, look, it's just like wind. You're not going to tame the wind. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit, because the Lord likes to shift. You know, one time God talked through a burning bush. It happened. It's in your Bible. Another time, Jesus spit in a man's eyes, all because the guy wanted him to use his hands like he had done before. Wait a minute, you're not doing this miracle the same way you've done other miracles. No, because I shift, I move, I do things differently. I don't always have to do it the same way, because as soon as you think you have God figured out, he shifts, he moves. Let me just tell you today, I think a shift is what you and I need. I think the church has needed a shift for a long time. The pandemic 2020 has created a shift among the people of God. Because we get stuck, we get unmovable. We need to be spiritually agile. We need to be movable and pliable and growable, but we get stuck. Have you ever tried to move something that hasn't been moved for a very long time? It may be something sitting on your counter. It may be something out in the garage. It may be something on the back porch. But when you try to move something that has set in the moisture and set in the elements, or maybe, whatever, just time and circumstance has happened to that thing, and you go to move that, and all of a sudden it's like, man, I'm trying to pick up this pot, and I'm having to, what, all of a sudden, when you finally, you know, it makes that kind of unsticking sound, or whatever it is, and sometimes it can be very unpleasant, like, whoa, gross, I didn't know that was under there, I had no idea that's what was growing, or what was happening beneath that, because it hadn't been moved in so long. What if we apply that to our spiritual lives? What if we haven't been moved in a long time? If we haven't been stirred in a long time, then stuff starts to settle in us. Stuff starts to grow in us. Attitudes begin to grow in us. Ways of thinking begins to stick to us. And then here comes life trying to shift. Here comes life trying to move us. Here comes circumstances trying to stir us. And man, we're fighting against it because we've been stuck in this position for so long. Listen, believer. Listen, church family. I don't want to be stuck. I don't want to be stuck to the point that I cannot move with the wind of God. I want him to be able to do in me and through me what he desires to do in my life. Am I by myself or anybody else feel that way? You want to be spiritually agile to the things of God. I don't want to be stuck. I want to be movable and pliable. Let me tell you about the third thing. Third characteristic of wind is that wind is refreshing. So wind is unseen and wind is unpredictable, but wind is refreshing. Because while we're getting a break right now, there's nothing quite like getting out of the Georgia heat and cranking up the AC. Ah, that feels so good. That is so nice. The temperatures have cooled off. It's one of my favorite things to do. I realize I'm getting old. I'm becoming my parents that sit and talk about the weather. I was talking to a pastor friend the other day, and man, before I knew it, we'd been talking 12 or 13 minutes on the phone, and all of it was about the weather. And I said, do you realize how old we have become? We are talking about the weather. you start telling me about snapping peas or something, then I'll know we've officially gone all the way over the hill. But it's nice leaving the office in the evenings and rolling the windows down and just letting the cool breeze come in. There's something that is refreshing about it, something that just invigorates you, something that makes you feel good. Listen, the Holy Spirit wants to refresh you. You may be coming in from the heat of life. You may be coming in from difficult circumstances. You may be coming in from a long, hard day, trying to survive, trying to get it done, trying to make it happen, trying to get it ahead, trying to make ends meet, trying to process all the information. And then you get into the presence of God, and it's like, oh, somebody just rolled the window down. Now, this is the refreshing. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says it is the refreshing for us. I love to go to church. I love to start my week here. I love to begin my week in the presence of God, because it sets the tone. It sets the tempo. It decides how my attitude is going to go and how I'm going to react and how I'm going to respond. Wind is refreshing. It's refreshing. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 and 10, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. No eye has seen, and no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined. But the only way we're going to get a clue into what God is doing is going to be by the Spirit. So again, if I'm tracking with God, if I'm moving forward with God, but then every time I get to this conversation about allowing His Spirit to reign in my life, to rule in my life, I'm saying, no, I'm out. I can't do that. Can't be a part of that. Hear me, there are things that God wants to get to you. And the only way He intends to get them to you is by His Spirit. Let me tell you about number four quickly. Wind is powerful. Yes, wind is unseen, and yes, wind is unpredictable, and yes, wind is refreshing, but hear me, wind is powerful. We've had so many hurricanes this season. Has hurricane season ended yet? I checked out of the hurricane business when I left Houston, because I don't have to deal with that anymore, thankfully. But I think we've got another couple of weeks or so in hurricane season, maybe through the end of November, and there's another one that's threatening South America right now. But an unbelievable amount of storms, to the point that they ran out of names and started, calling them Alpha and Delta and, names like that. I like the more creative names. At least I feel like I'm on a first name basis with whoever is flooding my house or ripping up my trees or, whatever is going on. But we've had so many storms, and we can see. I've got friends in Louisiana that their churches, their homes have been destroyed. Wind is a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. If you don't believe me, just watch the news during a hurricane. There is going to be a weather person that's standing out in the middle doing their report, and they're facing, leaned over sideways. I'm convinced at some point one of them's going to get an Emmy or a Grammy or whatever the award may be, and there's going to be unseen, like the circus protection cords. There's going to be unseen pulleys somewhere that's allowing them to lay over. So far, it's the wind. The wind is powerful. Wind is powerful, and just like it is in the natural, it also is in the spiritual. Because hear me, wind can generate electricity, wind can sail a ship, and wind can destroy a city. You and I face things that human power cannot fix. So our prayer is, God, help us regulate. I don't want to relegate myself to solutions that can only be brought about by human power. I need the help of the Holy Spirit. It would be a shame for you and I to leave ourselves without the power that Jesus wants us to have. Because just like the wind that can sail a ship, just like the wind that can power a city, the wind of His Spirit can direct and order our steps and build our lives. And my prayer for you today is that you would get close to the Holy Spirit. Even if there's some of that you're just not ready for, saying, listen, me and the Lord are working this out. Just at least pray this with me today. Lord, I don't understand all of that, and I don't know about all of that, and I'm not sure about all of that, and I've got my questions, and I've got my doubts. You say, can I tell that to the Lord? Yes, you can tell that to the Lord. I've got my struggles with this, but if there's something you want me to know, Lord, then teach me, show me. Because I want to get close to you, and I don't want to miss out on anything that you have for me, because I want to experience your power. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. For someone today in this room, it's critical. It's critical that you get some fresh wind in your sails, because life is particularly hard right now. The challenge is great right now. The season is overwhelming, and what you need is fresh wind in your life. What you need is the wind of the Spirit to catch your sail, to push you forward into better days. It may be your marriage. It may be your kids. It may be your job. It may be your health. But if you can get some wind, if you can get the wind blowing in your life, wind of the Spirit, if you can get the refreshing, if you can get what God has for you, then you are moving forward into the best of God. I'm going to close, but I'm going to close with very practical things today, because you may be saying, all right, I'm sold, I'm in, sounds great to me, but how does this happen? How do I live a life that is full of the Spirit? How do I live a life where I experience this wind? How do I live a life where this is happening for me? The first thing you have to do is remove all barriers. Remove all barriers. Listen, God has more for all of us. Preacher teaching today, everyone in this room, God has more for us. I don't know if you really believe that, because you say, I see them people on stage, they're on fire, they got it, they don't need anything else, it's just poor little old me out here struggling. No, let me dispel the myth. Everyone in this room, from Pastor Daryl right on through this house, everyone needs more of God. And God has more for us. But I'll only get more to the degree that I'm willing to remove what is in the way. You can love your closet and you can want to put more in it. But if it's full and packed, top to bottom, front to back, you're not going to get more in until you take something out. So at some point, you've got to come to terms with the fact that you're never going to fit in that again. And you got to move it. You got to give it away. You got to sell it. You got to get rid of it. Because the only way you can get more is if you're willing to remove the old and make room. Can I tell you today that sin, unforgiveness, what's weird in my life, my control issues, whatever it may be, if I remove what is not like God, I make room for more of God. Remove the barriers. Number two, request the gift of the Holy Spirit. That prayer I prayed a moment ago. God, whatever you have for me is good, so I want everything you have for me. Don't filter the request. Don't put an asterisk in there. No footnotes. Don't filter the request through the normal. What you're asking for is supernatural. God, I want everything you have for me. No exceptions, no exclusions. I want what you have for me. Take it slow. Be careful. But I want what you have for me. Number three, receive. Receive him by faith. Receive him by faith. Because God is always calling us deeper. And the next step, whatever the next step is in your life, whatever the next step is in your life, it's going to require faith. Because there's more life out there in the deep. And then fourth and finally, number one, I'm going to remove all the barriers. If I want to experience the Holy Spirit in my life, I'm going to remove all barriers. I'm going to request the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to receive him by faith. And then number four, I'm going to relate to him daily. I'm going to relate to him daily. Because this is a real relationship. He's present and a part of it. The people you love, the people that you are committed to, you talk to them every day in some capacity. Constantly communicating. So my communication with God is not just, I'm in trouble, Lord, or I'm in crisis, or I'm in a mess, I'm in pain. No, it's I want to talk to him daily. Hey, Lord. Good morning. It's me. How are you? All right. Going to work. Keep me safe. Bless the kid. We just keep talking to him throughout the day. Ought to be sometimes at work, sometimes in life. What'd you say? Huh? Talking to me? No. I'm not. No. Just talking to myself. Relating to him daily. 2 Corinthians 13 and 14 in the Message says the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. So my prayer today is that you would remove all barriers. Request the Holy Spirit. Receive him by faith and relate to him daily. Father, we teach to people in this room today. We teach to people online today your word. Your word without my opinion, your word without my thought. Just your word. You are the wind in our world. You're the wind in our lives. For some in this room, you've become all too predictable. Their life is so predictable. It's so routine. It's so same. And today, Lord, we want you to blow, shift, move. So that something in us begins to break up, shake up, be stirred up. And we feel something fresh in our lives. We've all had enough stress in 2020. We've all had enough unknowns. We've all had enough political chaos. We've all had enough. Today, Lord, we want you. We want to close out the last few weeks of 2020 just resting in the refreshing that is your Spirit. Peace of your presence. The glory of good days. Good days when we are committed, faithful to your call. Speak to us today, Lord. Speak to the one doubting in this room. Speak to the one nervous. Help us. Teach us. Show us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let us feel it. Let us know it in our lives. Online today, let them feel it in their living room. Let them feel it in their bedroom, in their car, wherever they may be. I want the refreshing. Refreshing of your presence and your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Someone say amen. Would you stand with me across the room today? You may want prayer. We're going to worship one more time and give you an opportunity to respond to the word today if you want to do that. You can socially distance in this altar. It's a beautiful thing. If you want to find a place to just spend a few moments with God. If you're online today, if you need the Lord to do this miracle in your life, the miracle of the Spirit, to just say yes to Jesus. Hey, Lord, I don't want to miss everything that you have for me. I don't want to miss your glory, your presence, your power. Can we worship one more time today? If you're in the room and you want to come, I'd love to pray with you today. I'll be careful and cautious, but I believe God can touch you by His Spirit today. I believe He can help you in this room, online. I pray for you right now. I want more of you, God.